Welcome to another episode of COVID Chronicles, a podcast by, for, and about people affiliated with Portland Mennonite Church in Portland, Oregon. It's April 20, 2022. I'm your host, Gloria Nussbaum, and my guest is Lori Nussbaum. Welcome, Lori. I'm so glad we finally found the time to do this.
Thank you.
Before I get started, I just want to note that you and I are both Nussbaums through marriage, and so we are not specifically related, although as a former pastor of mine once said about me, but if we were, it would be okay. Yes. So I just want to put that out there. So Lori, I know a little bit about you, and I think you started life in Oregon. Is that correct?
That's correct.
Where specifically?
South of Portland, so around Aurora and Canby area.
And was that or is that a home area for your family, your parents? And
yes. My parents still live in the place where I grew up, and my sister lives about 8 minutes south of them.
And so that may have been the answer to the next question. How many siblings do you have, and where do you fit in the family?
Oh, well, it sort of answered the question. I have one older sister, and she's 2 years older. And I also had a younger sister who died. I was 3 and a half when she was born, and she died at 3 days old.
Do you know what the story is?
Yes. She had trisomy 18. It's an extra 18th chromosome. So it's similar to how Down syndrome has an extra, I think, 21st chromosome. But my parents didn't know about it until after she was born. So she was born, they thought things were fine. My dad made phone calls to tell people Libby was born, and then the doctor said something's not right, and yeah, happened pretty fast.
Do you have any memory of that at all? You were very young.
Yeah, my very first memories are at that time. Yeah, so I remember being in the hospital and wanting to kiss her a lot, and I remember after she died asking if Jesus was going to send a rope down from heaven, and my mom and dad said later that that provided some comic relief that was needed at the moment. Lighten the mood. And I remember the casket being prepared at our house by some people and my parents. I guess it's kind of like a small group, some of their church friends. And I remember some of the sort of like vaguely just being at the church at Zion Mennonite.
And where is she buried?
At Zion, down on the left side, way out there.
So it sounds like Zion Mennonite was the church where you were attending as you were growing up?
Yeah, it was. Through high school. And then like in college, when I came back home, I'd go there.
Did you go to public school?
I did, yes. I went to 91 grade school, 91 elementary. It doesn't have an actual name, just 91. And then to Canby High School.
Since you grew up in Oregon, tell me something that you especially liked about growing up in Oregon as an elementary school age girl.
I have lots of memories of going to the coast with my parents, like maybe once a year we'd go to the coast. So having beach trips, and we'd go for hikes, Silver Creek Falls, Table Rock, things like that. And being able to play outside, like year round, there's things to do.
So did your family ever take any trips? Like, did you have relatives that lived somewhere other than in Oregon that you would go to visit from time to time?
We went to California one time to visit, well, maybe twice, to visit one of my mom's siblings. Went to the Redwood Forests. And we also went to Colorado. That was the summer before I was in fourth grade. And that trip I remember specifically because it's the first time I'd ever flown in a commercial airline. And I had contracted bronchitis, and I had this medicine I was supposed to take that was horrible and really big pills. And I remember like everybody was ready to walk out the door and go to the airport. And I did not want to take my pill. My dad, I think it was my dad, said, "If you don't take that pill, you are not coming." It's like, I'll take the pill. Okay. That was a good trip. That was to see where one of my grandparents had grown up, and then meet some of my dad's second cousins, and got to be out on a farm and ride a horse and herd peacocks in the morning, waking us up. And we also got to go out into some areas where there were hieroglyphs from indigenous people who had lived there before. So that was interesting also, just being out kind of on a, I guess you'd call it a prairie.
So as you were growing up, did you live in a little town or a city, or were you out in the country?
Outside of two towns. So outside of Aurora. And okay, if people know where Lone Elder Road is, on Lone Elder Road, near where Zion is, like, I guess, 5 minutes from Zion or so, 10 minutes.
Even I know where that is. So as you were getting into, say, junior high and high school, at what point or during those years did you discover some things that you thought were especially interesting, maybe some subjects that were of interest to you, or maybe some that you really didn't like? Tell me about that.
I'd say what I really like, I always liked reading, and I was really into anything athletic. And in high school, I was really into science. I really did well in my physics class and math classes, geometry, algebra.
Were you involved in any extracurricular activities, say, in high school?
Yes. I participated in volleyball for 4 years, basketball for 2 years, and track for 4 years. And I was in honor society, and I helped with Key Club and, of course, youth group activities as well.
Where did this interest in sports come from? Do you know?
My dad had a big influence on that. Not necessarily watching sports. He wasn't big into watching sports, but playing outside. So we had a basketball hoop. I loved climbing trees, and we called it bat and ball. So basically baseball or softball, but we called it bat and ball, and running around the yard. And then, like, when I would get mad, I felt like throwing things. So I would go and throw rocks at long distances. And then it's interesting to look back on that now, because then in college, I ended up doing javelin as my primary event for track and field. So it's kind of fun to look back and see, like, oh, that anger was channeled into something positive when I would get upset. Used it for good later.
And this is a question that I should have asked a little earlier, but did you ever wish that you had a brother or brothers?
Oh, I don't know that I wished for brothers, but I thought it would be more fun to be a boy, because I wasn't into pink and lace and stuff like that, and frilly things. And I liked being active and wearing jeans and stuff like that.
Was your older sister into sports as well, or are you fairly different in that regard?
She was not as much through high school. She's going to listen to this. Yeah, maybe it's like a second child thing. Like, you see a sibling do something and then you try it because they did it. And because you got an example, then sometimes you're more into it. So
I just realized that that's something else that you and I have in common, is that we're both number two in our families. And I had an older sister as well, although I had some younger siblings too. But when you were graduating from high school, was it clear that you were going to go on to college? Tell me how that decision was made or what you were thinking.
I don't really remember how the decision was made, but I think it was like, oh, I guess I'll apply. And I applied to some and got in and made a decision. If you'd like an interesting story about how the decision was made, I can tell you.
Please.
Okay. Oh, I did art. I was really into art also. And there was an art scholarship opportunity at Linfield College. And I had toured their campus already, and I was really fascinated by their athletic facilities. So I thought, oh, I want to go to Linfield. I'm into this. And then I went for the art competition, and it ended up being two older male professors. And the way that they had it set up, we were going to do some art right then, like create some art, but it was drawing. And I remember there was a group of us sitting there, of high school students there for a competition at a college setting. And a female walked in, a young female, and she went into this little room, and we were like, are we going to be drawing her? And she came out in a robe. And I was really not comfortable with that. And I could tell some of the other students were not either. And it was a group of maybe 10 to 15 high school students. And I ended up, like, I went ahead and sat down at the easel or whatever. And then as soon as she dropped her robe, I was like, I can't do this. And I, like, just, it's blocked out of my memory. I don't remember what she looked like. Just feeling like, this is weird. I don't think it's necessary to do this in order to see if we can produce art. So I went to the professors and I said, I'd like to leave now. And I gathered the pieces of art I had brought with me, some sculptures and things, and went and found my parents in the auditorium in the middle of the parent presentation. And I said, I'm ready to go now. And in the middle of all these other parents, I found them and we left. And my mom, on the way through the parking lot, she said, well, I was praying that God would make it clear. So it's like, thanks, Mom. So I say I ended up going to George Fox University. It ended up being a good fit for me, and I'm glad I went there.
Since you were raised in a Mennonite church, did you apply to any Mennonite schools?
I don't believe I did. I'm trying to think. I know I applied to like Willamette University and Linfield and George Fox and maybe one or two others, but I don't believe I applied to a Mennonite school. I don't recall specifically why, but I think there may have been some influence from my parents about what perhaps was being taught there that maybe they weren't wanting me to be taught at the time.
It just strikes me that you are so very much a West Coast woman.
Yeah.
And that's not a bad thing either. It's just an observation that you probably didn't apply very far afield, so to speak, either.
Yeah, and I think that speaks to not being sure if I was going to go to, I don't know, maybe I knew I would go to college, but not necessarily looking to like spread my wings big time. I was fine being closer to home, but I didn't want to live at home.
So you got accepted and went to George Fox for 4 years?
Yes, I did.
And at what point did you make a decision in terms of a major?
At the very end of my sophomore year. I didn't know what I wanted to do. When I went in, I had been so good at physics in high school. I thought, oh, I'll take like a harder physics class to start my freshman year. And the academic advisor or guidance counselor, they had said, oh yeah, start with the harder one and you can always back down. Well, I started with the harder one and it was really not good for me to try that my freshman year. I was doing sports and I had a work study job in the library and I ended up getting mono and was like having trouble staying awake in classes and things. So I didn't do very well in that physics class, but I did pass it just barely. Worst grade I've gotten probably in my whole history of schooling. But I tried out interior design, like, oh, I'll just see what that's about my sophomore year, and really liked the professor there. And then at the end of my sophomore year, my roommate's like, Laura, you're good at this and you like it. You should do that. So thank you, Catherine Jones, for tipping me in that direction. So I declared that like 2 weeks before the end of my sophomore year.
So you didn't specifically pick George Fox because you knew that they had that major.
Correct. I didn't know they had that major. It didn't matter to me when I applied to schools.
So obviously you did end up living on campus.
Yes, I did. Yep. All 4 years.
What was that like for you?
Oh, it was fun. And let's see, it was good for me to live on campus, especially with doing athletics, because then I was there close by. Like, it was go to classes and I had a work study job. So go to my work study job, go to classes, go do my athletic things, eat dinner, go to the dorm, do homework. It was nice to have it all close.
And did you enjoy the social life on campus at all?
Yeah. Not sure how to answer that. I enjoyed getting to interact with different types of people. And that's the same in grade school and in high school. It was the same for me. Like, I could interact with any different group. And I really liked that. So I'd go into the cafeteria at George Fox and be like, oh, where am I going to sit? And sit down with someone. And like, I'd look for people that I knew somehow already, usually, but I was fine interacting with different groups of people. But as far as social things, I mean, there were like on-campus dances and some of that kind of thing, but I didn't go to like parties necessarily. So I don't know if that's what you're getting at, but
no, I just meant sort of interacting with other students. You answered it very well.
That was good. And our dorm, the floor I was on the same dorm floor for 2 years. and several of us stayed on that floor. So there were some relationships that were closer there, and we do silly things. So
what was your church involvement during your college years? Did you go back home to Zion Mennonite on the weekends, or?
If I was home, I would go there, but otherwise I went in Newburgh. So I went to my freshman year. One of my friends had a car, so I just rode with them and went to, I don't remember the name. It's a mainstream Christian church. And that was an interesting experience, like way different than Zion Mennonite. Just different songs and different approach to the preaching. And that church, after students would come to the church, they'd send them cookies in their mailbox on campus. So that was kind of fun. I don't remember where I went my sophomore year. I think some different places. And then my junior year, I think it was that I started going to friends' churches. So I went to Newburgh Friends. And then my senior year, after getting to know some students on campus who were Quaker, who I'd worked with at Twin Rocks Friends Camp, then I went to North Valley Friends Church. And one of my professors, he was a pastor there, Colin Saxton. Some people might know him.
You got kind of an interesting new variety of how to be a Christian.
Yeah. It was good to go some different places. And when I was working at Twin Rocks, the staff, when there were weekends that we didn't need to be there, we could also go to different churches. So we went to Neatart's Friends Church. There was a open worship, like for the whole time it was silent worship. That was very different. And another more mainstream Christian church in Tillamook or Rockaway Beach, one of those. So I think it was really helpful for me to get some different perspectives and a little bit of cross-pollination, not a ton. And I think one of the things I appreciated most about those experiences, like being at the Friends churches, was the open worship and having that time of silence. Because even at North Valley Friends or at Newburgh Friends, they'd have a time, maybe 10 minutes or so on a regular basis, like every Sunday. So when I came to PMC and we'd break for like a minute or 2 minutes, I'm like, no, I need more. Give me more. Let's just sit with this a little longer and let the Spirit move a bit more.
How did you get your job at Twin Rocks?
I went to it was a winter serve trip. So winter serve trip, you come back from winter break a little bit early, and then you go and do a serve trip. And this one was a discipleship trip, and it happened to be at Twin Rocks, but at the Harbor Villa, their retreat area. And we did a bunch of work there, like laid a brick path and cleaned up bushes so you could see the ocean and some things like that. And then the summer staff directors came over and just did a quick little talk. And then a couple of us went over and had a tour. And I decided, well, I'll apply for that summer staff job. That sounds fun. And it was something that I remember pretty clearly that my parents, my mom specifically, was like, I don't know if that's such a good idea. Like you're going to have your student loans and things, like, because the pay wasn't very good. It was more of a small stipend. But I really felt like that's where God wanted me. So I went ahead and did it. And that's one of the times I can look back in my life where I feel like I knew where I was supposed to be and I followed through on it. And even though it didn't pay well, it worked out okay. Because then when I was back on campus in the fall, my senior year, then I got word that there had been extra grant money had come in and they offered me more money. And that was just one of those times of confirmation. Like, yeah, you were listening and you did. And not that it always works out that you get blessed financially by following. That was just a good affirmation for me, my faith.
So just to be clear, it's Twin Rocks Friends Camp, which is where we will be going for our church retreat in a couple of weeks.
That's correct.
What degree did you actually graduate with?
Yes, my degree is interior design / fashion merchandising with an emphasis in art. And it's an emphasis in art because I didn't have enough credits to have my full minor. Just after having mono, there were some things that I had to just focus on getting my credits for my degree.
And what did you think you were going to do with this degree, or what came next, basically?
I didn't really know. But I applied. My first job I applied for was at a tile company, United Tile. And it was for sample board maker, because I thought, oh, you know, in college when we put together these boards and put together little schemes of what things would look like, that was fun. You know, I could do that. And it turns out the job was just like gluing tile on a board to represent what one product line carried, not actually like choosing how things were arranged and how they went together. And the person that interviewed me, he said, you know, you're overqualified for this job, but I'd be silly if I didn't offer it to you. And then he said, but I know of someone that I think you should talk to. And so he pointed me in the direction of a flooring company, and I was hired in a retail sales job there and worked there for quite a while. So 2001 to 2008. And when the recession happened, then I was laid off and then did a few other things in between. And I'm back at a different flooring company now. Happened since 2011. And I have my own business too. So
at some point, a young man came into your life. What's that story?
Yes. So Jonathan and I have kind of a funny story. We didn't officially meet each other until after college, but it was at Western Mennonite High School. I had been going to Zion after college, and he was sort of in the area, but sort of out of the area. And we each had mutual friends then that were playing volleyball. Just they'd get together and play volleyball at Western. One of them worked there and had keys. So one time when I was there and he was there, and we each separately noticed each other, but didn't talk about that. And then he was gone for a while, river guiding in Australia, and then came back and looked me up and tried to get that group of friends together. It's kind of interesting how he figured out how to get my number. And I don't know what else to say about that, except for we figured out that we were at Drift Creek Camp at the same time as kids, two separate times. One was as campers, and the other was in high school. Each of the youth groups would get together for like a winter retreat. And he specifically remembers someone had a birthday and there were like balloons and flowers for her. And it was me, and I had come late from a basketball game or something. So he remembered that I'd come, but we weren't connected at that time. That's kind of fun.
So how long did you date before you decided that this might be the real thing?
Oh, before we decided that? We started dating in May of 2003. We got engaged in August of 2005 and married in December of 2005. So we had talked about some things, but Jonathan was guiding, river guiding at the time, which is something that takes you away a lot. So part of our dating was him being gone and out of cell range for 5 days at a time and 5 hours car drive away and so on. So we had to figure out how is this going to work, because I wasn't really interested in just waiting around and not being able to see him on a more regular basis if we were going to continue seeing each other. But it worked out. And I was, see, you're going to delete this and it's fine. Like, how much do I explain? I just don't want it to sound like I pressured him into stopping guiding. It wasn't like that.
So he seems pretty happy at this point. So yeah,
he's fine with the decisions he's made. We're good. But we'll just say we had an interesting conversation where I was like, so what's the plan here? What's going on? Because I was thinking this kind of time frame, and you seem to have an 8-year plan that involves being gone a lot.
But you worked it out.
We did.
At some point, you ended up at Portland Mennonite Church. How did that happen?
So after we were married, we lived in Canby. And because I was working in Portland and Jonathan was working in Salem, and we were going to Salem Mennonite Church. And we decided, let's try to consolidate our life so we're not driving 40 minutes to go to church on Sunday and not able to do stuff during the week and living in a place where we're not really connected. So Jonathan ended up, he got a job in Portland, and then, okay, we're both working in Portland, let's move to Portland. And we figured that we would probably end up at Portland Mennonite Church, but we wanted to be a little more deliberate about it, not just, oh, let's just make our way through all the Mennonite churches, because he grew up at Western Mennonite Church. I grew up at Zion. We went to Salem Mennonite. So we decided we're going to try out a few different places. So we tried out a little more mainstream Christian church, just for anyhow, knowing we probably wouldn't end up going there. And we tried Reedwood Friends and we tried Portland Mennonite. And it was around the time that Rod was doing a sermon series. So he got us all hooked into the sermon series. We went to Wildwood and we're like, yeah, okay, let's just do it. So we figured that's where we'd go anyway, but that we wanted to hear the rest of the series. So we just stopped church shopping then.
It sounds like it was kind of an affirmation for you that, yes, this is the place we want to be.
Yeah, I think so. And people were kind and welcoming, and we felt like it was a good fit for us spiritually and like ideals of how to live and so on.
And what year was that? Do you recall?
It's in 2007.
So you've been there a little while.
A little while, yeah.
And I know that you've been on all sorts of committees and things like everybody else, but just recently you became one of the newer members on what we call the leadership table.
Yes.
We are thrilled to have you there. What specifically is your role?
I am the faith formation elder. So I'm still figuring out a little bit of what that means, since it bridges a few different areas. It bridges part of Kurt's responsibilities and part of Diane's responsibilities, but it also touches some other areas of church. So I've been working with Kurt and Diane and figuring some of that out and how I can be helpful or supportive or just listening and advocating during table meetings to make sure that faith formation and the different groups of people affected are being thought of in those considerations.
And as we're ending up here, I want to give you an opportunity to tell us a little bit about your business. Let me just say that we had Lori work with us, believe it or not, 12 years ago when we were putting in a new kitchen, and she was fantastic. So tell me a bit about your business.
Sure. So I already mentioned I work for a flooring company and I work for myself. So I have a couple different things I do. My business, I'm an interior designer, and it's just Lori N. Nussbaum Interior Design. And I help people with selecting things for their homes or businesses. Could be anything that's fixed to the building, inside or outside. So light fixtures, stone finishes, things like that, paint colors. And then anything inside, flooring, countertops, paint, furnishings, artwork, rugs. I've even helped people select plants and fountains. So just depends on what people need and want, and space planning too. So if you're remodeling and thinking about taking out walls or things, finding a place for a new closet that you didn't have space for before, things like that.
And finally, what is one of the best things about your job?
Well, creativity and helping people are my top two. So I like variety, I like being creative, and I like helping people and solving problems, coming up with innovative solutions.
And I have so many more questions that I could ask, but we are out of time. So Lori, thank you so much for taking the time to give us just this little glimpse into your interesting life.
Sure, and thank you for doing these podcasts for our church. Nice to have those available, and I listened to a few, but I'm hoping to get through more.
And thank you for joining us for this episode of COVID Chronicles. If something you heard raised questions or you discovered a connection, take the opportunity to reach out and continue the conversation. I'm your host, Gloria Nussbaum. Until next time, stay well and keep the faith.